I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com, and the chief executive of the Purple Group, Charles Savage, is with us. Charles, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person again in August, at the end of August, when we have what we call BNC4. It's our fourth event, our fourth edition of the Biz News Conference. And you're going to be talking to us there about the Easy Equities Disruption Machine, which is something that we're going to pick up on now. I suppose a little bit of an update now. But the whole disruption journey, is that being put onto de-geared a little, given what we've seen in the global markets?
Alex, such a good question for this kind of time of year. And given the market conditions and the pullbacks we're seeing and the flight of venture capital out of kind of fintech, you know, the opportunity set is just shifting, but the opportunities aren't going away. And what I mean by that is the last kind of 2 years have been categorized by a huge run of retail investors towards investment services. And what that meant is that there's been more competition and more money chasing fintechs like ours. What you're finding now is that people are returning to work, they have less time on their hands, inflation's in the system, so there's less money to invest. And so there's less capital chasing these opportunities, which means there'll be less competition for us. So whilst we might not acquire the same level of customers that we have over the last 2 years, we see lots of opportunity in emerging at the end of, let's call it a recession, because I think it pretty much is. There being less competition, less platforms like ours delivering services to their customer base, and at the end of that, much more opportunity for us. And it really does feel like the dot-com bubble, of 2000. You know, you and I have got enough lines on our foreheads to remember it. But, you know, I remember it well. And if you think about it, lots of money chasing e-commerce sites. The tide then went out and a few survivors, and then the next waves of capital that supported those e-commerce survivors took them on a 17-year kind of run. You know, took Amazon from a $6 stock to a $3,000 stock. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing in fintech. You know, those that have scaled and that are profitable and have got the right shareholding structures will survive this recessionary move, will emerge stronger in a less competitive environment, and the next wave of capital will last longer and be more sustainable. So it's odd for me to say that this presents more opportunity for us as a business than COVID did 2 years ago. And it does simply because we scaled, we're profitable, and we've got an incredible shareholders. And I don't think there are a lot of companies in our sector that can say all those things.
So you are profitable, so you don't really need more capital. But what is your capital situation like?
It's strong. I mean, let's firstly look at our shareholder base. You know, 30% owned by Sunlum, 70% owned by Purple Group and Easy Equities. Purple Group still the most loved stock on the JSE. And so if we want capital, we could go to the market. Sunlum would 100% follow their rights, and then so would our Purple shareholders. So to the extent that we want capital, we can get it easily. You know, we don't need capital right now. Income statement is strong enough, and we don't have enough things to invest in that requires us to go and get more capital. But that might change.
That's funny for you to say, Charles, that you haven't got enough things to invest in. You've got a whole array of projects that you're busy with.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. But it's, you know, for me, it's the kind of the capital constraints that have built this business that came out of scarcity of being a very small group 7 years ago are very good disciplines to keep, especially now in a recession. So I think having too much capital right now could fall into a trap of thinking that this is going to be a short-lived recession. You're going to buy assets too early or invest in projects too early. So, you know, would I like to have more of a war chest on our balance sheet? Yeah, definitely helps me sleep better. But we don't require it given the environment that we see ourselves operating in over the next 2 to 3 years. We will be, however, strategic about if we're seeing opportunities that we want to invest in at the right price, then we definitely will take advantage of those opportunities. I think our biggest currency is two things that we bring that doesn't necessarily require capital. The first is we can partner distribution with our platforms and get access to markets without having to spend marketing money. that's a massive differentiator. Yeah. And, you know, two big partnerships launching in the next 4 to 6 weeks, Discovery and Telkom, which will give us rails into new customer bases. The second one is that we can partner fintechs and give them access to our distribution in return for equity. And you've seen that play out with Easy Crypto, where we did that with Michael Joel and Earl Loxton, and what a success that was for them and for us. Mm. We've also done that with Easy Properties. And I think the opportunity to do more of that in the next 3 years, where there's the scarcity of capital, and really what do startups want? They want access to customers, presents a big opportunity for us. And I expect that we'll, you know, where we did two deals in the last 2 years, I would take a stab at us doing about 10 deals in the next 3 years that are built on the same model.
Because the valuations are different.
Yeah, because if you think about it, let's take a really good startup that's got a product set that works inside our customer audience. I can't think of one that comes to, you know, to mind now, but they're out there. If we take them from a startup and scale them to profitability by introducing them to our clients, and rather than taking a share of revenue, we say, look, we just want equity, then we get our equity for free. I mean, in Easy Crypto, we got 51% of the company for free. And today, depending on what, you know, multiple you value it on, that equity is worth anything from, you know, 50 million to 100 million. And all it cost us was access to our customers. And, you know, our customer base in the South African context, 1.6 million registrations, 800,000 active accounts. At today's growth rate, about 30,000 new customers a month, which is 50% of where we were at the height of COVID. But it's still 30,000 accounts a month. You know, that's still a big number for a fintech like ours.
And that comes to something that I saw on Twitter, or something that was sent to me from a tweet by Capital One Partners, which showed your daily registrations at Easy Equities, on the one hand, that they're falling. But really, the bigger question for me is, that seems like excessive transparency. Where did they get those numbers from? Is this something that you put out into the marketplace?
We've got a counter on the homepage of our website, which tells you how many registrations there are. So as long okay. as you log in every day, you can work it out.
So it's really transparent. I suppose good news when it's growing, but when it's not growing, you could have critics who are questioning, like these guys clearly are.
Don't think you can be criticized for transparency. The numbers are what they are. I think what's more important is, what are the levers for growth? And if new customers are the strongest lever for growth, then that should be a concern to investors. But it's not. So we've got four levers for growth. The first is NAV, so assets on platform. And the largest customer segment are those that are already on platform. So, you know, there are 1.5 million opportunities, of which 800,000 are active on the platform. So that we need to get to give us more money and invest in more things on the platform. And that's our strongest lever for growth. I mean, those are in our site, doesn't cost us 1 cent to target them, activate them, engage them, and get their assets. The second lever for growth is revenue per customer. And what we can do to improve that is to introduce more products and services so that we get a greater share of wallet and greater stickiness from our customer. And, you know, there today we launched Euro and GBP. So to get allocations from their offshore assets and grow our distribution into those markets.
To say that again, Euro and GBP? What exactly is that?
You can now buy European stocks and sterling stocks, UK stocks, on the platform.
Okay.
So that gives our customers more destinations to invest.
You used to have US and Australia and, of course, South Africa. So now you've got another two big marketplaces to add. That's a big deal. I haven't seen enough of a shout and scream about it. Charles, are you guys calming down a little now?
No, I unofficially launched it on Twitter this morning. The official launch is on Monday.
Okay.
But Twitter has blown up a bit. Our customers are loving it and activating their accounts. And for us, it does two things. One is, obviously, customers can now invest in more markets, and they can move their currency to those markets as easily as they can to US or Australia. The other one is, it signals our intention to go to Europe. So now that we've got those European and UK markets, we're going to get licensed in those in that region and start to target customers in that region. And going back to the point around revenue per customer, we're also going to be launching two big product releases this year. The first is we'll launch Investor Life, which is Easy Life, which is purpose-built life insurance for investors, which we're really excited about and we're working hard on. And that's going to 100% increase our revenue per customer. And then the other one is that we've been working hard on is margin lending, or what we're calling easy credit, where you can borrow against your portfolio at a very conservative rate to prevent people withdrawing from their portfolios and using their portfolios as short-term kind of emergency fund. Because what we've observed from our customer base is 80% of all withdrawals return to us within 3 months. So why create that, you know, that unnecessarily liquidity event by them selling shares and therefore creating tax events and inefficiencies in their portfolios, rather just lend them the money? And that will also launch this year. And both those products are big uplifts on our revenue, and we think we'll have very high traction with our customers. And then the final lever which we can focus on in this kind of recessionary environment is the cost to serve this customer base. You know, if you look at our financials every year for the last 7 years, our cost to serve has gone down by big percentages, 20, 30% per year. And what we've been able to prove is that as we scale, we're able to scale our income, our expenses back. So it's costing us less and less to serve this customer base every single year, which means we're kind of creating this wedge between revenue, which is increasing per customer every year, and costs of servicing, which is going down every year. So, you know, the real point is that customers arriving isn't the biggest lever for growth right now for us. It was certainly 2 years ago. You know, we had probably 100, 200,000 accounts. Our biggest lever for growth is actually focusing on the work that's right in front of us that doesn't cost us a cent to activate. That doesn't say we want to not grow, but market conditions aren't set up for high growth for a retail level. You know, and we've really tested this. You've got two things going on. One is return to work is costing people 3,000 to 4,000 rand. And that money was being saved and frankly was going into easy equities. And then the other one is that inflationary pressure across everything is taking away another 1,000 to 1,500 rand. So, you know, our customers that we serve are heavily affected by those increases and that return to work. And so whilst this inflationary pressure is in the marketplace, our customers are going to have less to invest than they had in the last 2 years. And we've got to be, you know, we're built to, you know, to work through that environment. But it would be silly for us to go and spend enormous amounts on marketing in an environment that's not conducive. So rather focus internally.
Yeah, I think it's an obvious and very easy for people to understand. You've got 800,000 active clients already, and as you say, 1.6 million in total. So if they operate or if they engage with the company more often, then clearly it's going to enhance your revenues. But it's not a story that everybody's believing. And I mean that when you have a look at, first of all, Mark Barnes seems to be selling shares full on. He sold some more shares now in June. He is your longest partner, you personally. The two of you were very involved from the outset here. What's going on with Mark? Has he lost confidence?
No, man. I mean, you couldn't find a bigger bull on easy equities than Mark. But he's old, man. You know, give the guy a break. He deserves the opportunity to diversify his portfolio, you know. And I don't think Mark will mind me saying, but 99.9% of his wealth was in Purple. You know, we've had a good run and he's been a long-standing shareholder. For him to take some of that off the table and diversify his portfolio, given his age, is 100% the right thing to do. I promise you it hurts him to do it. He doesn't want to do it, but it's the right thing to do. You know, the other side of that is, who's buying? You know, and that's the more interesting part. We keep attracting large new shareholders who are buying in at these levels. It's not like these shares are being thrown at the market and depressing the share price. These shares are being placed in hands that are long-term shareholders. So it's a natural and normal shift. It's an exciting shift for me because it introduced shareholders that have got another 10-year journey. And that's the journey that I want. You know, I want shareholders that are have got a 10-year, 20-year view on things, and not a 2 or 3 year view. So, yeah, give Mark a break, man. He deserves the opportunity to take some money off the table.
Well, when he spoke to me about the big sale a year ago, he did say at the time, and he sold at R1.10, which by current prices is very low. He did say that by bringing in the new shareholders, he was expecting that would enhance the value of the equity, and it certainly has. So he gave away a lot, but I suppose he made it back and more through the higher share price. But that share price is the other reason why I guess there's some questioning. R3.30 2 months ago, R2.15 today. Is this something that's worrying you?
No. I mean, yes, you know, yeah, share price, if it worried me, I wouldn't do any work because it is volatile and the moves are kind of 5 to 6% a day. You know, again, just think about the environment we're in. There's liquidity is kind of king now. And in a market crash, which essentially we've seen across growth stocks, the correlations tend to one, everything goes down. You know, you've seen it across all growth assets. Crypto, the worst or best example of what's happening. So, you know, can we escape a liquidity crisis? No, we can't. You know, we're a small cap stock. And our customers, our investors require liquidity. And so on the back of that liquidity, kind of, we're going to see the share price go down. It's the perfect opportunity for people who've been looking for an entry. You know, does this represent fair value? No, not in my view at all. But then needed at R3.30. You know, so between these prices is a good fair price for where the organization finds itself. But I caveat by saying this, when reflecting on our past, the share price right now doesn't reflect any optimism in our future. And that I find amusing because, and I'm smiling because for 7 years they've bet against us. And it would seem they want to bet against us for the next 7 years. You know, we've got, if I go back 7 years ago, what did we have? We had a dream and aspiration to build South Africa's best investment platform. Okay, we've done that. Now we've got dreams and aspirations to build the world's best investment platform. And I guess not everyone believes us, but we're committed and, you know, we've got capital and we're profitable and we're now operating from a 3 billion rand business, not a 200 million rand business. And so I'd say the odds are stacked in our favor this time. And last time, you know, we got quite a lot right, but we also got lucky. This time, I don't think we rely on that much luck.
But you've also switched your focus as well, as you've explained, from just driving marketing and putting together, getting the scale. You've got the scale now, so it's more of, I suppose, client retention and, as you say, selling into that base with innovative products. Sounds, I'm trying to poke a hole in your argument, Charles. I can't find one that obviously comes there, but accepting to say Mark Barnes is your man and he's sold some shares. I think you've explained that. He's old. and the share price itself.
He'll hate me for saying he's old.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. But anyway, you did, so I was allowed to repeat it. And then the share price itself. It's interesting that, isn't it? And when you look more broadly at buying or being an investor, it's so sad that many investors come in at the top of the market because they get impatient. Whereas if you do invest for the long term, which everyone should be doing when they're buying equities, on a five-year base, I'm pretty sure that your business, you'd back your business to be a lot bigger in 5 years' time than today.
Yeah, look, it's the business has got an intrinsic growth rate of about 25 to 30%. Now, let me caveat that a little and say in normal market conditions, i.e. a bull market. So, and the reason that we got this intrinsic growth rate is that customers' NAV, their assets on platform, improved by 25 to 30%. Half of that improvement is markets rising. The other half is that new inflows of capital, so new inflows from their salaries, etc. Now, if you compound 30%, or let's be conservative, compound at 25% year on year for 5 years, you more than double the business. And so you can write that down, and you've got it now. This business will be twice as big as it is today 5 years from now, guaranteed. All it has to do is keep the customers it's got. Now, that means that that's an ex-growth kind of example, i.e. we're not going to go out and sign new partnerships. We're not going to go and spend money on marketing. We're not going to develop new products that uplift average revenue per customer. But we are going to do all those things. And so, you know, what does that mean for the group 5 years out? You know, when I look 5 years out, I see a business that's offering between 15 and 20 easy product lines. Currently, we offer 3, easy crypto, easy properties, and easy equities. And I see a business that's got north of 10 million customers. And today we're sitting near 1 million. And, you know, I really do think that the opportunity to be the world's best investment platform is ours. I think our competitors have made big mistakes, the same mistakes, funny enough, that we made in 2008. And they've been penalized for it. And so someone, if you'd said to me 2 years ago, do you think you could be the world's best investment platform? I probably would have said no. I would have said our focus is here at home. But if you look at what's happened to Robinhood and competitors of ours, the tide's gone out on them, and they've been proven to be trading platforms and not investment platforms. Our customers are investors. They're here for the long haul, and so they're not going anywhere. They're 31 years old. They're Black South Africans, 52% male, 48% female, and the future of wealth in this country rests with them. And so we've just got to make sure we keep them happy, make sure they stay in love with us and our platforms and products. And I don't think I can predict where Purple will end up, but it's a long way from here.
Charles Savage is the chief executive of Purple Group. He will be at the BizNews conference where he'll be giving us a presentation. The last one made a lot of people a lot of money. I hope it's the same this time around. No doubt it shall. That conference is on from the 30th of August to the 2nd of September. You can get details on the homepage at biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Till the next time, cheerio.